Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carrie. You have your Omeka Southern in the house, your advisor, the one you want, and definitely the one you need. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our show this evening. We're on our 14th segment, How to Develop Your Natural Intuitions While Learning to Honor Your African Spirit. Please join me this evening so we can honor our African spirit. And our special book this evening from my book corner is entitled Open to the Spirit. And this book talks about the chakras and the chakras that are contained in the endocrine system. You definitely want to be a part of this segment. We will contact the power of the healing chakra. And we know that the healing chakras are all lined up, and they must be in a perpendicular line. Once again, I'd like to welcome you for joining me this evening, and I'd like to just bring you up to date. Yesterday, we had a guest on. Peggy was here to talk with us, and Dr. Jamel Harvey. They were discussing the soul, the heart and soul of sex, and boy, was it a fantastic discussion. Peggy saw there was a little heated there, and then having too much testosterone in the room caused her to have to leave a little bit early. And women, sometimes we have to get used to having testosterone around, and they have a different point of view, a different perspective. And sometimes it may mean that we may have to yield a little bit to the conversation, but we never want to back out. However, we do learn when we find out there's something else that we can obtain and that we don't know. But it's very important for us to talk about lovemaking. It's very important for us to talk about parts of our bodies that are misfunctioning or have a disharmony that are not functioning in a manner that it should. It's very important for us to make mention of those things and not suppress them. So yesterday, we just let it all hang out here in the room. And Omi, she was in rare form yesterday. I mean, she was talking about lovemaking, telling everything she knew about sweet, sweet lovemaking. And boy, didn't I get a relief yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but I was in rare form. I was talking about something that I enjoyed talking about and that I thought that other adults that were mature enough could express their opinion and call in. We didn't have a lot of people call in yesterday like I expected. However, you do want to join in with us today. I'm going to have you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270, and we want you to lock it in. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Stay tuned for Station Identification, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to experience the power of faith because we know that it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to expand ourselves and to advance in our lovemaking. But today's segment, we will be talking about honoring the spirit, the African spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, join us. Please be a part of this segment. Now, listen with me as we listen to the power of faith. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is our power of faith that gives us stability and the strength to go on. And because of the fact that we have to believe sometimes without seeing, we develop our faith over time. We've all been given a measure of faith, and now let us exercise the process of healing our chakras today, and let us also remember to honor our African spirit. And in this room, ladies and gentlemen, we attempt to honor our African spirit every day, that is to be reminded of who we are, that we're Africans, that we are tied to a land base, that we also have significance, and that means that we have a flag, that we honor the red, black, and green as we recite the pledge, and we pledge to the flag because we want to acknowledge the fact that our land base was taken away from us, but we still adhere to being a part of Africa, even though we share in duality of Americanism and Africanism. And honoring our African spirit today, I'd like for you to stand with me as I ask permission for my elders to speak. Then we'll go right into the libation and the purification, ladies and gentlemen. My elders here now. Elder, do I have permission to speak at this time?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And the whole tribe is all here. We have Jamel as present. We also have Terrell Garth, our initiate who went over and crossed the sand, who is now one of our internships. And I am going to ask Terrell to do a prayer for us this evening, and then we'll go right into right after we do our purification, and then I'll ask Terrell to do a prayer. Are we ready to do the purification? Barbara, is the purification in order?
Yes, the purification is in order.
Okay, let us begin by standing, ladies and gentlemen. You're now in the process of going through the talking cure. As we pour the water to the ground for libation. I will make sure the water hits my hand. And some of the water has to go on my face so that my face is purified, and I don't meet the Almighty with a stale face. Where's the towel, Terrell? Can you hand me the towel? Hand me the towel, please. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be going right into a prayer. And if you are not standing, you might want to stand now and get your list of your ancestors to be a part of this segment of the show. And pause with us for a moment as Terrell does prayer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start the prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with bound hands and open hands. We give it up to you, God, Lord God, for giving us the strength to wake up every morning and able to breathe the earth. As we go on to do our day-to-day duties and jobs, we would like to give God the praise and thank us for the little things around earth, such as family, friends, and God, that it's good that we stay encouraged with your prayer and your words and not always call on you when we need you, but to call on you for guidance and prayer and for protection as we live our day-to-day lives. Thank you and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Terrell. And we're going to have Baba do a prayer before we get started. Baba, are you ready to begin with prayer?
Yes.
Yes. No, hold it for a minute. Wait a minute, I'm going to check the, okay, yes, hold on for a second. We want to make sure Baba's in the atmosphere. Okay.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Can I be heard? Okay, can I be heard? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, to the one most high, we ask that all praises are given to you. We ask that on this day that those who are sick and shut in can get a blessing. We ask that those who are in need can get a blessing, in need of their daily bread, in need of deliverance from that which holds us all down, and that is a psychological hindrance. We ask that those things are lifted, as well as physical blessings for our health, for any disease that we may have in our body. We ask that those who are on the borderline of doing something terribly bad to someone else or to themselves, that they be retrieved from the depths of that hell and from the depths of that negativity. We ask that you put a special blessing across this country to solve the wounds of hatred, to solve the wounds of economic despair, to solve the wounds of family against family, to solve the wounds that have inflicted upon the people of this land and the people of the world. We ask for a universal prayer that your great, 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 great graciousness will come down on this world and change the condition of this world from negative to positive. We ask that the ancestors that look upon high will come down on this planet and change this condition. We ask that you give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the patience to move forward and make this day and every other day a better day. And we say amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you so very much, Bill, for that prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you are saying the Holy Ghost. Thank you very much for that great prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will bow with me as we begin to quiet ourselves and go into meditation for a few minutes here. Meditation is always in order, ladies and gentlemen. The meditation will help you to hear from the Creator. We are always sending out messages. Sometimes we want to hear from the Creator. So shine at yourself for a minute by taking deep breaths as we allow the Most High, Holy Guru Maharaj, to speak to us in our quietness. Thank you. We come to you, Most High, Holy Guru Maharaj. As filthy rags, there's none good but one. We ask that you would pardon us of our inadequacies and our slow process of growth. We ask that you would allow us to mount upon our ancestors and that we would be able to see clearly over their shoulders. We ask that you would be able to give us all power to balance our chakras, all power to line chakras up perfectly so that they are balanced and our spirit is balanced. We ask that you help us to honor and remember our spiritual African religion, our African spiritism. Help us to honor that today. May we be found pleasing in the sight of God as we honor what is African, as we honor what is tradition and customary. We ask that you would honor the fact that we have taken time out of our schedule to remember our ancestors, to call them by name. I'd like to call their names now in honoring of them and our African spirit. Benjamin Banneker. Oh, Benjamin Banneker, where are you, Benjamin? Booker T. Washington, in honoring you, my dear brother, we call your name, say I say. Dr. Charles Drew, in honoring you, the Most High Priest of Medicine, where are you? Please find your way back home. In honoring you, we call on Frederick Douglass, the Emancipator, the Proclamator. Come back home, Frederick. We ask that George Washington Carver was graced the stage again to tell us about his scientific work in working with the peanut. And Harriet Tubman, take us underground again and show us our way around so that we can lead others through the underground movement. And we call on you, Langston Hughes, to write a narrative like you've never written before, to explain our desire to have reparation. Oh, Leontine Price, we call on you today to sing a beautiful gospel song for us again. Louis Armstrong, play on your horn so that it will rise over to the mountaintop and to the byways and to the valleys. Play on your horn, Louis. And Madam C.J. Walker, come back to us again and advance your technology in the way that we braid our hair and the way that we extend our hair. We need you again to do it one more time, Madam C.J. Walker. And Brother Malcolm X, though some may want to call you Boule, we know what you did for our people. We haven't forgotten. We love you, Malcolm. Don't forget, we love you, brother. And, oh, we call on Mary McLeod Bethune. Mary McLeod Bethune, we ask that you would please be present here today, Mary, and that you would bring on your school books and in that little schoolhouse, you would teach us again to show us how in gathering together multiple numbers of children can be taught and be properly educated. We ask that you will release Nat Turner. Let him go. Nat Turner, come back home. We denounce everything that was done to you and ask that you come and lead this caravan again. We call on you. We like to call on you, Rosa Parks, and ask that you stand with Martin once again and Coretta, and that you will unite yourself in keeping the dream alive as we begin to work with the people here, that the movement will be greater than it was ever before. We call on you, Search on the Truth, that you are the truth maker, and you can make this thing right again. We like to call on you, W.E.B. Du Bois. We call on you today. Your debaters in need today, Lord. We're asking that you would send W.E.B. Du Bois to debate the issues that besets us in the medical field, that besets us in the job market and in the economy. And we call on you, Dora Neale Hurston. Take us to the graveyard one more time, sister. Show us our way around there in the graveyard, Dora. Show us how to summon our brothers and sisters as we ring the bell to ring the bell to wake them up. Show us, Dora, that it is easy. Call on the ancestors once again as we ring the bell. Dora, show us how to go back to the graveyard to summon each and every one of our heroes and sheroes. As we call on our personal ancestors, I like to call on Shang Lily, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Clara Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Doris Lily, I say. Sam Lily, I say. Ashe. I call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, I say. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. I like to call on Esley Folk, Ashe. Isa Lily, Ashe. Nisha Lily, Ashe. Bessie Lily, Ashe. I like to call on Lucille Day, Ashe. I call on Louise Gord, Ashe. I like to call on Ludell James, Ashe. I like to call on the name Tom Harvey, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. And Michael Harvey, Ashe. So be it, so let it be done. I pour libations now to the east. I pour libations now to the west. I pour libations now to the north. I pay libations now to the south. As we pour our libation, let the ground be fertile now. Let the ground be fertile that it is ready to receive. And wherever the word falls, it will take root and it will spring up. And our African heritage will grow. I pour libation today that every man and woman who is seeking the truth will find the truth. And that the words that are sent out into the atmosphere, the vibration is nothing but a prayer. The vibrations will seep over into the other avenues and to all of the homes where there is need. This is your timeline, ladies and gentlemen. You tap into the frequency of the energy. The melanin frequency is here. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. It is here for your asking. Ask for the frequency. You can be whole and you can be free. You are whole and you are free. Ask for the frequency. Tap in.
balance and heal through our chakras. And we have Jamel on the line with us, Dr. Jamel Harvey. And we are going to ask Dr. Jamel Harvey to be a part of this discussion. Are you still with us, Dr. Jamel?
Yes, I'm with you.
Oh, okay, very good. Dr. Jamel, we are honoring our spirits today, our African spirits. And in honoring our African spirits, we want to talk about how do we build up our chakras, how do we advance our chakras and heal our chakras. Can you give us some broad information about lining up the chakras and what is this crystal that one spins in front of them to get the chakras to line up? Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, first, let's define what the chakras are. The chakras are the energy seats. They are the spinning wheels of energy seats that are in the body. So they're vortex of spinning energy that's in your aura field. The chakras come from the Sanskrit word to mean spinning. The chakras, you have seven, right, that we note, but there are more. You have the root chakra that covers your genital areas. You have your second chakra, again, bladder area. You have what you would call the third chakra, your solar plex area, and the fourth chakra that's right above that area, the fifth chakra, your heart center, the sixth chakra, your brow, and seventh, your crown chakra. What happens is when an individual becomes disconnected from your chakras, right, now you're disconnected from, for instance, your ability to balance out. If you go with the root chakra, right, those that, to give you an example, people who have a hard time dealing with finances, being stable, there's usually some imbalances in the root chakra. To give you another example, let's take the sixth chakra, for instance. People that have a difficult time dealing with truth or seeing things as they are, sometimes that medical condition will show up in their body, in their physical body. They'll have blindness or a difficult time in perceiving with the third eye or a difficult time in rationalizing things out. So the chakras are the counterpart to your physical being, meaning when you have a disturbance within your body, it manifests itself in your physical life, okay? That's the importance of chakras. Now, how do you balance your chakras? Well, there are two ways. One, you could have a practitioner who is skilled in balancing chakras to actually balance your chakras, okay? Or if there's not a practitioner around and you need to balance your chakras, you can sit and meditate, right? If you're skilled in knowing your chakras, you can bring your chakras into alignment through your meditation. And it's very important that we all have that quiet time because that keeps your chakras intact. Whether you can see the chakra or not, the fact that you have the quiet time means that you're traveling up and down in your energy centers. Okay?
Now, Jamel, I am sitting here listening to you talk about the chakras and knowing that our energy also depicts if our chakra is worn down. Ladies and gentlemen, we're honoring our African spirits today, and that means we are attempting to heal ourselves and use some of our methodology that we've used in the ancient time to help to heal ourselves. We talked about healing relationships, healing the understanding of what is unconditional love and what is intimacy, from intimacy all the way to healing our physical bodies now. Sometimes outwardly the body expresses a disharmony when there's something going on in the mental. Let's talk about it, Jim. When someone is experiencing an awful lot of pressure and stress, how long before the physical unbalance shows up in the physical state? Does it show up in the mental state long before it shows up in the physical?
Well, when you have an imbalance in your chakras, it depends on the nutritional health of an individual. A lot of things depend on your nutritional well-being. So if you have an individual that, say, have broken up with their love, right? So they've broken up with their sweetheart and their love interest. Okay. Long before the breakup, you have to see that there are things that are imbalanced in the heart chakra. Now, what would that be? Making a decision, okay? Making a decision, being able to see clearly. So now you have the sixth chakra engaged and being able to see. And you have the fifth chakra, which is your heart. So if you're in balance, you could, as a man or a woman, enter into a level of betrayal, betrayal of the trust of your heart, simply because you have some imbalances in your chakra, which means that you could have a weak heart, okay, or you could have some type of impediment in your brain or in your eyes or even in your pituitary gland. That's physical, all right? Now, the thing that caused that physical could be emotional. So that could be a myriad of things that causes that emotional to happen to you, which then affects your physical, which then it jars those chakras. And now the chakras, which is the seat of your spiritual consciousness, are out of balance. So then you don't see correctly and you don't feel and perceive correctly. So now you make a mistake. And you know, sometimes people cheat and they wonder, well, why did I do that? I didn't mean to do that. You're out of balance for a while. Something took you out of balance and something unanchored your commitment. Men say that all the time. What happened? I don't know what happened. I just want, because your first chakra center, right, is unbalanced, so you unglued. You didn't want to see truth. You were blinded by truth, so now you have a blinding in the sixth chakra area. It is very important that we keep meditation, certain rituals. Now, you talk about rituals, Umi. Rituals are very important. Why? Because it keeps you centered. When you say centered, what are you talking about? Centered means to keep your chakras in order. To be centered means to keep the seats of consciousness balanced within your body. When you step outside of that arena, you can hurt yourself or hurt other people.
I see, I see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the discussion room talking about healing ourselves through our chakra. And we're paying homage to our African spirituality by talking about healing those situations in our chakras that can help ultimately heal our physical. I want to give that number out again. That call number to the room is 646-478-0270. You do want to call in with your questions. Now, Jamel, the problem that most African Americans have is just determining that there is a spirituality to honor. A lot of them have become so Euro-customary or indoctrinated that they don't really know what is theirs authentically as far as African spirituality. They believe that they have a heritage, but they've been also told that they only have a heritage and not a custom or tradition. Now, what would you say is traditional that belongs to Africans in general?
Speech. Speech. It's in the African tongue.
Would you say in the way we dance, in the way we speak, that these are things that belong to us uniquely?
Yeah, the way we speak develops the rhythm. It develops the vibration, because the way we speak is the way we sing, and the way we speak and the way we sing is the way in which we express ourselves through instruments. So I would have to say what is uniquely unique is the African tongue, because it is that expression that creates the octaves and rhythms and vibrations in which we actually move, and that gives us the grace that we have, the very graciousness.
Yes, Jamel. We're going to look at our technical difficulties. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're having a hard time hearing, please call in and let us know. We're going to check with our technology. We're going to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the air. Stay tuned.
Miracle Worker. Arranged by the author, Shirel Omiinka Binka Bidiako Garth. My husband thinks that I'm a miracle worker, but dig this. Here's a realtor. She tucks $20 in my hand, And I say, man, what's your plan? He responds, I'm sure that you understand. He says, here, take this and go shopping without even stopping to think that it's been a long time since grits was poultry and since $20 bought groceries. While just the other day he requested gourmet, I put chicken on his plate instead and hoped that he didn't realize it was fake. I guess somebody has to determine his fate. As a miracle worker, you know I don't have to debate. On his days off, all he wants to do is sit and gaze. Why, he never wants to interface about the good old days. His mind is somewhere off, always in a daze. The television occupies a great portion of his time. He keeps on promising that he'll read a few of my lines. But I have to laugh, oh girl, I have to laugh to keep from crying, because he really thinks that I'm a miracle worker. I ain't lying. His greatest consolation is flipping the television station from station to station. Hopefully soon he'll be ready to take a vacation. That is, from the television station. Because the real tip jerker is that I am no miracle worker. I am no miracle worker. That's the real tip jerker.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, don't you just love the way that those children can spell Kwanzaa? Are you teaching your children how to spell Kwanzaa? It's on its way, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be here the day after Christmas on December the 26th. You don't want to miss that day. You want to go out and buy your Kwanzaa gifts now. There are 7 days that you have to acknowledge in Kwanzaa, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't forget about Kujichajulia, Ujamaa, Nia, Purpose. Do not forget about Kwanzaa. Start preparing now. You can go out to your shoppers in the area, and you can buy those gifts and get those things you need for your loved one. You might even be able to make some of those things, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we want to patronize and honor all of our shopkeepers. They told me to tell you so. If you don't believe me, let me put them on so you can hear their own advertisements.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should?
I am.
in man with their product and their plan. Me need money to have the plan expand. The bank say no when I ask for help. Where are my brothers who got all their wealth? They say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Brother and sister, we can help ourselves with Ujamaa. Let's try to begin to do that before Kwanzaa season rolls around. Let's start now. We can start our shopping list early and get those things from our shop owners and our own community. We can purchase them or put them away on layaway. We know how we do it. We go in and put a dollar down a day, and we pay the rest as we go. You can help yourself with Ujamaa. You can keep those dollars circulating in your community more than just one time. Why not start the Kwanzaa season early this year? So what if you do still celebrate the traditional Christmas? You can celebrate both if you want to. Kwanzaa is not a spiritual religion holiday. It is basically a ritual that you do, an African custom. And in honoring our African customs today, we want to acknowledge the songwriters of this music that you've been hearing, the beautiful songwriting of Mr. Steve Cobb, and his wife, who have written such beautiful music and pieces that speak to our situation. We want to honor them today. They're the spotlighted guests that we'd like to honor today. I am planning on featuring those young people in my audience and have them here to sing live if I can. Their schedules are so difficult and they're booked up, but you better believe it, they're one of my favorites. And if it is all possible, if it be inshallah, in the will of the Almighty, then we are going to work towards bringing them here. But we do reserve this day for Steve Cobbs and his lovely wife for the singing of all the Kwanzaa music. Don't you just love it, ladies and gentlemen? The power of faith. Ujamaa. We can keep our collective economics. We can name for ourselves, define for ourselves. It's going to be a beautiful day when we start off the Kwanzaa season, starting December the 26th. Put that on your calendar, and don't forget it. Go out and get your black, red, and green candles and set up your candles for your seven principles. Light a candle each day. Say one of the rituals each day. You can even read this pledge, the African Black Family Pledge, because we have forgotten our ancestors. Our children no longer give us honor because they have lost their path. And our ancestors, they cleared kneeling in perilous undergirding.
Our children, they cannot even hear us when we're crying, lady, because we have abandoned our wisdom of our mother and our fathers. Our befuddled children give birth to children they don't even want nor understand, ladies and gentlemen, because we have forgotten how to love adversity within our gates and holding up the mirror of the world, shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore we pledge to bind ourselves. I said to bind ourselves to flesh and blood and not to hardware, and to one another to embrace the loneliest, to keep company with the loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, and to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters. In honor of our brothers and sisters who toil in perilous gods with golden tongues, and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of the hopeless desolation, we make this pledge that we are our brother's keeper. If this nation and procedure of carrying on the process of honoring our ancestors and honoring our spirituality should fail, who will pick up the banner? Who will pick up the banner? Jamel Harvey, will you pick up the banner? Jamel Harvey, will you pick up the banner?
Yes, I will pick up the banner. I've already picked up the banner.
Am I my brother's keeper?
I am my sister's keeper.
I am my brother's keeper.
I am my sister's keeper and my brother's keeper.
Ladies and gentlemen, say that to yourself. I am my brother's keeper. I will pick up the banner in honor of African spirituality and carry it forth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a pledge that you make to your nation and you make to yourself. Jamel, you're back in the atmosphere. I'd like
yes.
for you to give us some input on African spirituality. What can we do to honor our African spirits and also look at how to balance our chakras and treat ourselves better than what we do and leave our world in a better place than what we found it?
The first thing that we black folks in America can do, and I want to speak to all races because all races came out of Africa, but we have to address those who are in most need of help. And black America is sick. It's sick because of self-esteem, sickness, and identity crisis. We don't associate with a land, a language, and a culture. And I think to honor the African spirit, every black American should attach themselves to some type of African culture, language, and at least have an identity to where their DNA hails from, if it's on the shores of the African continent. That's the biggest honor of the African spirit that we can do, because that is the first step to reconnecting back to the ancestors. We have to realize this, and we must not be embarrassed because other races may not want us to show our ethnicity or our African culture, because you always get this multicultural from other races. Oh, let's do multicultural. But we need to have an established culture first. We need to know that we are Africans beyond any means. Slavery took that away from us. So we want to reestablish our connection with our ancestors and our roots with our culture. And the reason I say this and strongly say this is because when we as black folk get ready to go out, what do we think about when we get ready to go out? We're going to eat. Where are we going to eat? Chinese, Italian, French, German, Mexican. We don't have that culture that we can go and participate in. When we go to a play, when we go to a show, is that play written for Europeans, Eurocentric values in a play, or are there African plays? Okay. When we go out to shop for clothing, do we go out and shop for clothing from our culture? No, from the so-called culture that we have been forced to be about for the last 300 years. So it is not a hatred of which I speak. It's only bringing our chakras back into balance. Why? Because when you are not allowed to be who you are damaging your chakras or your internal energy.
Amen.
Case in point.
Amen.
Case in point.
Amen.
Case in point.
Case in point. I'm
going to make
an insertion here.
Okay.
My insertion here is that when you are out of your mind and in someone else's mind, you're literally off balance, and crazy. That is why you see so many of us African Americans doing such crazy things. We're acting outside of the norm. We don't know what our rituals are. We haven't defined our heritage. We don't even know if we have a heritage or a culture. And we let other people tell us that you have a heritage. Knowing that we gave civilization to the whole world, it's very important that we define what is culturally ours. Our singing in the way we sing, our dance and the way we sway our hips, our ability to talk that talk, and you know we talk jive talk, and we also signify in the way that we signify. Let us claim those things again. There's nothing wrong with claiming what's rightfully ours that we created. Let us also claim the fact that I am my brother's keeper, and I am responsible for my sister. Because we were told it once, we were all one big family. Why is it so hard for black folks to say, I'm not no kin to that Negro. He ain't none of my brother. Don't call me sister. I ain't your sister. When did you stop being a sister? When you came here on the annals of the slave ship, you were still calling each other sister, mama, big brother, big mama, big papa. I love it when you call me big papa. You loved it when they called somebody Big Papa, and you knew what Big Papa mean and Big Daddy, too. So why did we come to the middle of the Westerners' climate in a colder climate, and we became cold in our spirit and bitter in our spirit? But we're sun people. We're loving people. We'd always say, good day, madam, having a good day. Father Minton, I say, Father Minton, you better run on. Do you need me to carry you down the street a bit? I can help you carry that bag, sister. Let me help you walk across that wave, across that bridge. We would always accommodate each other. Now we don't wish anything but bad times on each other. That's not our custom. That's not our way. That is not our custom, I say. You're picking up somebody else's mentally off balance program, and you're reprogramming yourself to be off balance, because it's not your nature to be cruel. It's not your nature to be bitter. It's not your nature to hold grudges. It is not in your nature. You have the nature of God. Let us understand we are God, little children, and we have overcome them. So you don't have to act the part of a bitter person. Yes, we've been through something. And yes, we have triumphed over something, but our customs and our Christian traditions have allowed us to be better, more better, as Spike Lee say, and more good. More better and more good. We are not people that hold grudges. That's not our nature. We have to understand when we establish what our customs are. And it's not somebody passing around the dead body of Jesus Christ, taking the blood of Jesus. That is cannibalistic. That is not yours either. Give it back. Religion is not yours. Give it back. I'm telling you how to get free today. In honoring our ancestors today, I'm going to stand here and say we need to erect some institutions. I'm going to erect an institution in a tribute to Nita Simone. This is something you can count on that Omi's going to do before she leaves here. I'm going to create a garden that will connect us to our ancestors, that will be kept by the whole community. Not a lot of money involved. Anyone can plant there. Anyone can go to that graveyard and call on their ancestors. Anyone can sit in that graveyard and find peace of mind. Not a lot of money. It could be done. It's reachable. I declare and I decree on this day, in honor of our ancestors and our spirituality, a cemetery or a garden in honor of our ancestors can be erected, and I will take part in erecting that and find others to support me. The tribute to Nina Simone should have been done a long time ago. When that sister sang the Mississippi Damn You song and was banned from this country and had to go with all of her knowledge and her training and live in another foreign country, when she had to separate herself from the black movement for fear for her life, and all of her songs were banned. Europeans began to sing all of her songs throughout this nation. They began to honor this lady only after she left this country. They began to honor her, Now her sister, now her daughter works feverishly to build up a monument to honor her. Every one of us ought to listen to her music and go and find out how she worked towards discrimination, how she fought to break down the doors of uncompromising, and the music she boldly sung to let people know she wasn't happy with the way Africans were being treated. Now it's time for us to honor her. In our African spiritualists, we have to also build institutions. We have to build schools that depict our curriculum, that employ our Greek philosophers, as you would say, our African philosophers that gave us reasoning, and teach our children from the traditional custom of metaphysics and Egyptology to let them know really where the tradition of all civilization came from. We must create new curriculums. We must abolish curriculums that are designed for self-esteem white males curriculum. We must look at, are these the institutions that we want to erect in our community? Are we looking to make a change so that we can fix our sick, sick community? Yes, our community has become ill. And yes, some of the things that have happened in the education arena, the miseducation, I know, of the Negro, we've all have heard it. We can fix it. We can ask to correct the curriculum. We can ask to have our own curriculum. And we can ask to educate our children as well. We can have Saturday schools. This can easily be done, ladies and gentlemen, but we can't walk around here in a trance, anesthetized, being sick and tired of being sick and tired, as Fannie Hamer used to say, and doing nothing about it but creating havoc and talking about the problem and not providing solutions. But we're solutions providers today. In our African spirituality, we ought to define our curriculums. We ought to define our heritage and seek more of it, wearing our traditional custom and cloth and clothing and being proud of it, putting Black and I'm Proud back into our language and throwing our fist in the air again and saying I'm Black and I'm Proud and I'll wear an afro and I'll wear my hair kinky twist. I don't have to explain why my hair isn't straight, bone straight. Where all of the electricity, vibration, and ethers have been removed. It's very important that we come to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. The very reason why this room was created was to give you African heritage, give you customs and tradition, show you that you can call on your Black self and your Black self will answer and support you, showing that only the Africans are going to solve the African problem. There's nobody out there petitioning on our behalf to solve any of our problems. If Africans are going to move up and advance themselves, it's going to take Africans like you and I to make that change and to do the work for ourselves. And if we are going to have a heritage, instead of just a heritage, but a customs and tradition and civilization can look to us, we've got to know what's exactly ours. We've got to claim what's ours. We've got to lay hold on it. I want back what the Greeks stole from us, and I want back what was claimed by the Greek, and we want to name it and claim it for ourselves. Those stolen goods, we want them back. And truly, we are going to name what those things are and continue to let people know it belongs to the African race. And if the Africans from the traditional African world order don't want their things back, then we truly do. It makes no sense for Europeans to take all hold of our African traditional tools and spiritual tools and sell them in their courtyard and make a dollar off of them and then tell us that they're taboo and we run as far as we can from them and we could make a living from our own materials, our own things, our own drums. Take back your heritage, ladies and gentlemen. This is a time to talk about African spirits and African spirituality and honoring your African spirit. And honoring your African skills is not enough just to say, I'm Black and I'm proud. What are you doing in the neighborhood to make conditions better? What are you doing to patronize your brothers in the neighborhood who have the Black stores? Are you buying from them? Are you patronizing them? Are you boycotting them? We ought to come together and see that it's necessary for us to be literate about who we are, to know ourselves. All the other stuff in between don't matter. It is a shame when you don't know your own customs and heritage, and you're sitting up making a mint, and you are big-time ball roller, small shot caller, and you don't know your heritage, and you're sitting up and you're African-American. What are you? Are you transparent? You're not European, so what are you? You have to know your customs, ladies and gentlemen. You have to know your heritage. You have to know that you're not just part white. I'm part Indian. I got some Indian in me. I got some Indian in me. What does it mean? Do you know what tribe you're from? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going to? Do you know the door that life is open for? What are you hoping for? Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to know who you are. You've got to know your near, your purpose. You've got to learn oracles, number one. Take a lesson on oracles, the books that I told you about oracles. Go out and buy those books. Teach yourself, train yourself how to read oracles every 4 days. If you're lost and you're confused and you don't know what to do and you're listening to everyone and you don't know information for yourself. Remember what I told you, if you only hear hearsay and things that people are telling you and you don't experience anything, then you don't know it for yourself. You got to know something for yourself, child. Don't come telling me about what you heard or what you thought you heard. That's hearsay, and it's indismissible in a court of law. What you need to have is experience. When you haven't experienced something, travel. Go to other places. Go to your continents where they're mostly African dark-skinned people. Learn how they traditionalize their heritage. Learn that just going to church and picking up rituals that you know nothing about. Now here you're practicing cannibalism, taking the blood of Jesus Christ and the body. You know nothing about the origin of where it came from, but yet you're taking in cannibalism beliefs. You got to get back to your preacher and say, where did the origin of this come from? Why would Jesus want us to eat his body and drink his blood? Why? Ask the questions to your pastor and tell him you want an answer. And is this a ritual that comes from Europeans, or is this a black custom? You have to know why you're performing customs and traditions. What is the purpose of it? Are you naming your babies? Are you changing around things in your household when your new babies come? Are you changing those names to African names? Do you know why you're naming them? Don't be talking about little Mercedes, little Coca-Cola, little bag of chips, all kind of stupid names you're giving them that have no meaning. You want your children to prosper, don't you? You want them to advance, don't you? Then give them names that have meaning. Give them names that have some connection to your heritage, and you will honor your spirit and your heritage and custom, and God will bless you, and it will go well with that child. Children are watching and looking to us to lay a foundation of tradition and heritage for them. But if your heritage is every week, you go down there to their little cornerstone, get them a bag of candy, take them around the corner to the cornerstone. You might let them go to one of those circuses that come to town every now and then, but they ain't never been past 125th Street. And ain't going to make that step across that street because you've never taken them there, and they figure that they're living in a limited world. And what happens to that child? He becomes narrow-minded and stuck on frozen viewpoints. You've got to get those children out and allow them to travel. You've got to allow them to travel and advance themselves and see what it is you never seen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful world across the water. It's a different world across the water. We have to learn about all customs and all people and lifestyle. And it's not all about us as black people. There are other customs of people who live in a traditional way. And if you can't adapt your own customs, how is it that you're going to adapt some customs that you know nothing about? What you're doing is idolatry worshiping. And if you don't stop it, your ancestors are going to call on you one night and they're going to speak to you. You must get back into your customs and traditions. Where you hear Nappy again? Just let it flow. Just let your afro flow. What they say? Let it flow. Put that afro on and wear that hair and let it air dry. And don't be concerned about who's saying, girl, when you go get your hair straightened. You didn't come here with your hair straightened. You're born with kinky hair. There's nothing wrong with it. Put on the customs and the tradition, not just the look, but you got to live the life, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of Afro dashiki wearing brothers and sisters who definitely are perpetrating. I'm not talking about being a perpetrating brother or sister. I'm talking about being an authentic African brother and sister who reaches back and researches all the things that belongs to their African custom and tradition. Now, I'm going to ask Jamel to come back in the atmosphere and to give us a few words on what some of the brothers can do to change their look with the saggy pants and to put on garment that depicts African men. What can they do?
That condition there has to start at the home. At the home, because you can't expect a teacher, you can't expect anybody in society to correct a behavior that starts from the cradle. Parents, you're going to have to take, I'm speaking to the young parents, from 18 on up to 38, you're going to have to take responsibility to teach your young men the proper way to dress and wear clothing. Now, outside of that, what's going to have to take place is that older adults who see young people in that situation are just going to have a one-on-one conversation with them and ask them, do they mind being more respectful? It's going to take actions like that, because you can't ask the government, you can't ask the so-called black societies or black programs to let's get together and pass a law. No, go and talk to those young people. Those are your children. Have a conversation with them. Sit down and explain the real meaning of sagging pants and what it means, okay? And then you put enough truth on their minds, truth will beget truth. That's how that has to happen. No other means, no other way. It may sound like, well, you know, that's a hard job, or I'm afraid of them, they may have a gun, or they could be. No, just approach them. Give you a case in point. The other day, I was going with my mother. We were going to a program. It was at a school. The young man stood up and started cursing. It's just ridiculous. He said he was grown, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I didn't let that pass. What happened was I caught him, and I called him over. Son, come here. I want to talk to you. And I moved him to the side, and I told him what was appropriate, what was not. Looked him in his eye, and as I looked him in his eye, he knew he was wrong. He knew he was wrong, and I asked him to correct that behavior. All you can do is that which you can do, and be truthful about it, and truth will protect you, and truth will beget truth. That's what we have to do. That's in the trenches, because the atmosphere was this guy could have been a gangbanger, but I approached him in truth and righteousness. And if you're truly rooted in truth and righteousness, then that is either going to be your protection or your end. Okay, so that's something that we can do, because you have the power to do that, and you don't have to wait on someone else. That power you have.
And you're right. You do not have to legislate that.
No, you don't.
Right, Jamel. You don't have to legislate that. That has to come from the authority of the family members and the parent. One thing I'm really, really upset about, and that something should have been done probably amongst the elders and the church, we need to have an elders' council, and people in our community should go before the elders, and the council needs to preside over issues that happen in our community. Elders have not been empowered as they should have been, and a large amount of them still want to remain young. They don't want to tell you that they're part of the elder group, but we need to indoctrinate our elders so that they can sit on councils and they can make decisions about things that happen in our community, so that these young people can come up under their jurisdiction and be truly adjudicated under their authority. And we come up with things that we can do in the community when we have wayward children that don't want to listen, and they are rebellious, and they are physical to their mothers. Because I've seen some young brothers who have gotten physical with their mothers, and they have become so rebellious that the mothers are afraid to approach them. You should never be afraid of your child. You should never allow your child to run over you, because that child was brought in this world by you, as we always say. And mothers will tell you, they'll take you out. But now you got the law saying you won't put your hands on this child, I will protect them. But when they're acting out in the courtyard, no one comes to protect them then. By and large, when you're raising children and you put your best into a child and he defies you when he gets grown, the African believe that that child's not fit to live. They believe that the child's not fit to be a part of the establishment. Put him out of the courtyard. Ban him from the community. Make sure that he is actually ostracized from the area. Because truly, in the olden days, when they put a person out, they were good as dead because they knew they couldn't survive on the outside. But we have something called passion. So we let our children back in, and we let them desecrate us in our name. Remember, the one thing that the children that you have in common is they're carrying your name. You have to make him or her carry that name properly and be responsible for how they handle that name so they don't bring disruption or unconditional repercussions and consequences to your house by virtue of carrying your name. When they bring the law to your house and disrupt your peace and corrupt your name, you have the right then to chastise that child and let the community come in to have a council reside over him. This is what's got to happen again. The Africans got to do it the old way. They got to sit out there and they got to counsel and they got to resume the position of an elder again. We got to stop calling the people in the community elders if they're not doing the job of an elder. We got to give them a job to do. We got to train them again because some of the elders are off balance and need training. And the younger grandmothers, oh boy, do they need to be trained because they're quick to say, I'm a grandmother and I have two grandchildren, but they know nothing about being an elder. So eldership training is definitely one of the things that we can do in honor of our African spirituality, bring the elders back. What do you say about that, Jamil? What can we do to get the elders back into the scheme of things in helping us rear our children?
Bottom line is people have to recognize their duty. People have to recognize their duty, and let me say this. The answer to your question is each individual has to recognize their duty. The bottom line, you can't force anyone to do anything. You can make a suggestion, but every man and woman of mature elder age have to recognize their duty. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that the black church must upgrade itself in order to implement that which you've just spoken, because the black church is where we congregate in a sober mind to receive a message. Obviously, the black church has to upgrade itself, and if it doesn't, then we will disintegrate right before our very eyes. That upgrade has to take place, and that should be another conversation for another time. But those are your two answers. The black church has to upgrade, and each individual elder must take the responsibility to know his and her duty, because you would burn yourself out attempting to do something that is the responsibility of every grown thinking elder. You didn't get to be an elder for nothing. Therefore, you know your responsibility. So just start doing your responsibility. And that's why this show is so important, because you are putting it on the minds of those that listen, that can carry the message back to others, and others will be attracted to it. And I applaud you, and I that's why I support your show, because it is topics and subjects like this that need to get out into the community. This vibration must be felt, and it is being felt, and elders must step up to the plate. So my hat off to you for a wonderful topic, and that answer again, we have to take responsibility. You hear that all the time in the mass media of taking responsibility. Well, black elders, this is a responsibility that we have to take, and it's right before our eyes. Let's get it done. We have a job to do.
And you know something, Jamil? I concur with you on that and to the 110th degree. I really think that we are letting the churches off very easy. There are numerous people trained like myself and you on the customs and traditions and heritage. Every black church should be held accountable for providing the customs and tradition that goes along with religion in the churches. They should not be allowed to teach pure religion without the customs and tradition, because what they're teaching is a whitewashed, non-traditional African custom to our African people, doing a disservice. They're not teaching them their customs and tradition. They're not even teaching the rituals that should go along in their lifestyle, not just Christmas and Thanksgiving. They have got to teach the origin of these religious holidays, and they've also got to incorporate their customs, like the Day of Leaven. What does it mean to an African? They have to teach all of these customs, and they have to teach them their heritage and showing them that there are other books that they cross-reference with other than the Bible, so that they'll know who they are, what tribe they're from, the Levite tribe, and where does the Levite tribe come from? What does it mean to be a part of the tribe? And what the story is, what part of the Bible is being told to the Africans? And is it a love story being written to the Africans? So, you know, the churches have got to understand is that it isn't enough to just to get a book, do a review of the book, and give you interpretation, and then say you were inspired by God. That is not enough, because people can do that on their own.
I would like to do a reality check. This is very, very simple. It's not intrusive or invasive. A reality check. And if you can answer this, that would be great. But this is for the listening audience. And I'm going to ask the question to you, Umi. The question is, where in the Bible do you find Santa Claus?
I've never seen it in the Bible.
Okay, so December 25th is dominated by Santa Claus. Is that correct? So where in the Bible do you see the mixture of Jesus and Santa Claus?
Nowhere.
Then why do we have this holiday called Saint Nick, and also beside him is Jesus Christ in the nativity scene? How do you merge those two together?
It is a European custom to acknowledge St. Nicholas, and they in Europe will put the shoes out and put money in the shoes, which is a custom from Europeans. It's not even customary for African Americans. So it's out of our customs.
So the reality check is these are man-made created holidays with a religious twist to get you to buy into it, right? Okay.
With
that's,
a marketing tag on it to beef up the marketing strategy for selling products.
So it's real simple. These are traditions of men that we honor, but we forsake the customs of God.
And of our heritage.
That's all I want to
bring
up.
Now, why is it so hard, Jamel, for them to believe in juju, developing juju bags, putting them together, even having them sold to their community for protection? Don't we all need protection? Why would a Negro be telling us, I don't need protection, when every time they're stopped on the highway, they are going to need protection? When every time they go down to the courtroom and have to have adjudication, they need protection. But yet they're saying they're free. I say they're not free. They need protection every time they go to and fro. If they don't have their papers in order, it's just like the slavery days. You got to show your papers. Where are you headed to? Who signed your papers? What job do you have? How much money do you have in your pocket? When they created this, it was created to keep a slave in order. And they're still using that technique, but yet most black people say, I don't need protection. Wouldn't you think that we all need protection?
Absolutely.
What are some of the, that's why I said, if we look at our customs and heritage, we look at what our customary, our ancestors used to do for protection. When we get ready to go on a long voyage, there would be a prayer deed. There would be a ritual deed. There'd be fasting. There'd be praying. And then we would carry substance with us for protection. We'd carry our rabbit's tail. And I don't care how superstitious that may have been. In our minds, it was something real that was going to protect us. Then the Africans said to carry a little bit of me and the juju with you for protection to ward off bad spirits. But yet when you speak that to an African now, they'll say, that's not my custom. That's juju. That's witchcraft. That is pure Jihad John the Conqueror. But it's you, nevertheless. It's from your sanction of your custom. It's still you. Why are you we're denying ourselves? So psychologically, we're in a quandary with ourselves because we're denying what's really ours.
Well, absolutely. And that denial has been taught to us through our theology. Our theology has taught us to deny that which is innate for us and that which is our culture, heritage, and language. Our theology, meaning the Negro theology, was birthed by European theology. So the European theology is Christianity because the European theology was created for them, but it was given to us. We were made to worship their theology. Their theology is not our theology. Once we discover that, a lot of us turn away from it. But until the Christian preacher can come to grips with the truth of the theology that you acquire in seminary school that is not for an African people, okay, then when the Christian preacher can begin to really teach the real truth, because here's another reality check. If we have been in this country for 300 years and have been worshiping on bended knee to Jesus Christ, and we look at the condition of our people, is this what we get for worshiping for 300 years?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something else that we can look at, too, Jamel.
That we get 300 years?
Uh-huh. And here's something else we can look at. In honoring of our African spirituality, if you are going to pay money to go back to theology school to find out all the truths and the hidden secrets, and you go there only to find that you are nowhere in the annals of the history book, there's no customary tradition of African religion there that is acknowledged with all of the theology courses of religion, you then would become whitewashed. You then would feel like you're insignificant. You then would go into depression and feel like that you are not thought of enough to even be acknowledged as a religion, an African religion, and you go on thinking all of Europeans' customs are the only rituals and the only customary religion. Judeo Christian religion, Christianity, Islam, but African is not there. That is why I press so hard to talk about Oromola, our African prophet that we need to take hold of, we need to call on. It can be found in history that he was there at the right hand of the inception of man. That is our African heritage. That is our African custom. And we have no prophet now. Jesus was sent to the Jewish people. And if he was sent to the Jewish people, by and large, he was not sent to the African. But yet we want to believe that Jesus was sent to everyone and that no man could be saved except under the name of Jesus Christ. That is the biggest fallacy I've ever heard in my life. If anyone thinks that Christianity were the only people on the scene and that there were no other conscious people that came or preceded Christ, which we know there was, so that tells you that prior to Jesus Christ coming on the scene, there were many prophets and there were many other names that people could be saved on other than Jesus Christ. We need to stop telling that lie, and we need to go and substantiate history so that people can research for themselves to see that they're leaving out their own gods and they're blaspheming their own traditional heritage for sake of embracing a counterfeit Hebrew prophet that was not sent to you. He was sent to the Hebrews, not to the African. Now, we're not going to debate on that, but what we're going to tell African Americans, you got to find your customs, and you got to know your customs, and you got to ask questions in the church about your customs. If you go on worshiping customs in the Eurocentric belief system without questioning, why do you have a God or a prophet that is white that you're worshiping? And then you tell me, oh, it doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't see color. God doesn't see color. Then if that's the case, illuminize the man. Let the man slip from black to white. If it doesn't matter, now if you wanted to go up there and change that Jesus to a black man, I bet you they would tell you, now that is something we're not going to have here in the church because you are making a difference, and yet they're telling you it doesn't matter. It does matter. However you see your God in your frame of reference is what you believe is God. If you see him in the frame of a reference as European, you will honor all that is European, and you will forsake your own. Now, let's honor our customs today. Let's really look at ourselves and say, if we wanted to change that God or that Jesus to a black man, would it be a lot easier to worship him? Would it be a lot easier to embrace him? Because otherwise you are worshiping, idolatry worshiping. You're worshiping an alien person that does not fit in your heritage. Now, for someone to tell you it doesn't matter, you look them flat foot in the face and tell them it does matter. Because if it didn't matter, you wouldn't have him depicted as a Michelangelo. And if you knew the real story, Michelangelo posed for that picture of Jesus Christ. And this was during the time that the Nicene Council had given us a Jesus, and truly when they gave us that Jesus, they needed someone to pose for a picture, and they allowed one of their European people to pose. It might not have been important then for somebody to say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, you can see him as you want to. And if we can see him as we want to, and since the Holy Ghost doesn't have a visual picture, why didn't we leave Jesus without any image at all, and we could have visualized what he was? That's a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. You need to think about that. Now, Jamel, what type of psychological barrier do you think that this Jesus Christ is having on our people when he's depicted as blue-eyed and blonde hair, but yet in the minds of our people, we have a problem with that image? What is going on psychologically?
Let's bring it back home. You know, we're talking about chakras. Okay, let's go back to the basic definition that was laid out. Obviously, black people have been hit upside the head. Okay, they've been slapped upside the head with a theology that is not theirs, and they've accepted it, which means what? Our sixth chakra center and our pineal gland, the inability to deal with truth, okay? The inability to deal with the reality and the truth that's right before our eyes. Why? Because our minds have been infected with Christianity. It was hit upside of our head because we came here with something completely different that has sustained us since the very first human being was on the planet. Then all of a sudden, we need Christianity. Now let's look at the trauma that was done to the minds of the slaves that were brought to the country. Because when you understand the transatlantic slave trade, right, now you can see the shock and horror that was placed on the minds of those Africans. When you go to the plantations and you see the brutality in some places, and in many cases, taking you from your natural state into this conditioning state, that was mental trauma. So we have been off balance in our chakras for the last 400 years, Umi. So we have to get balanced. And the way to get balanced is to accept your culture, Africa, your language, whichever tribe you find that you come from, okay, and your heritage and tradition, your land. You have to embrace that in order to balance your chakras. That's one way to get black people back healthy. A healthy black nation means a more prosperous America. Why? Because in our ignorant state, in the lowest ignorant state that you can find on the planet of a race of people, we generate billions of dollars. Can you imagine what we could generate if we were in our right minds? The Europeans would be wealthy. We would be wealthy. Everybody would be adjusted. It would be a beautiful thing, but we have to heal the sick mindset of the European and the ignorant African, because we have two races of people running around here ignorant and void of true higher knowledge of self and kind. So the European has to be made well, and the African has to be made well. This is not a hate conversation. This is a conversation to balance the chakras of all humanity for a better, perfect, harmonizing world. It's not
Absolutely.
Just a black thing. It's a universal human thing. But, again, since we are propelled into the arena that we have to help our brothers and sisters who are black Americans, who have suffered, who have been hit upside the head with a culture, language, and a system that we had to accept through brutal force, now you have these imbalances that are coming out in the latter day. How do you correct that?
And Brother Jamel, you know, you're right on point. Ladies and gentlemen, he's right on point. I want to say this for the record, Jamel. The reason why I speak the language and stumble and spit out the language as elegant as I attempt to, and sometimes I mutilate the language, I do it so I can remember who I once was. I do it to feel the expression of being African and what it would be like to speak the language of my mother tongue. I urge each and every one of you to pick up training and try to learn an African language and do it customarily so that you can honor your customs and tradition. In honor of our customs and spirituality, I do the prayers in Yoruba. I read the language in Yoruba. I know that I'm not delicate as I should be, but in my attempt is to honor my ancestors, and to honor my ancestors, they will be pleased with me, knowing that I tried to resurrect something that was covered up, that was hidden, and as death-founded as I may be, and as lost as I may be, I was able to try to find it. They will honor that. Do you know what the ancestors will do for you when honoring, acknowledging them? And let me also say for the record, we have got to understand in honoring our spirit, we've got to get well mentally. As we stay anesthetized mentally in this brutal mutilation of twisted thinking, where we've twisted our thoughts and began to think things that are not true, and we know in our minds that this can't be possible because of the tradition and rituals, we carry out this insanity. So we wonder why so many of us are just falling apart and unraveling right before our eyes and being sent out on the stretchers to the hospital. Some of the people want truth, and they can't take the fallacies, the allegorical stories, the lies anymore. And somebody has to understand that Ifa created this religion for all races of people, black and white, so we can live in harmony. Europeans, we're not leaving you out. We want you to get well most of all, to come to your senses, to come to your wits about the brutal mutilation and to about the killings and to cut down on the population. Let the population grow. It's God's decision to make a decision to handle the population growth. It is not Europeans' place to play God. Stay in your proper places and be healed by Oromola. Let Oromola heal your household. He will give you sweet rest. He will give you many children in your old age. You won't have to worry the population. We've got to stop this playing God. Now, the gods that we are to play are the gods of harmony and love, and the gods that carry the big guns and do all these astronomical things to our land, to our nature, to our atmosphere. God will allow Mother Nature to take revenge. As I said, this is not going to break the European down. We're going to show them the error. We're going to show all people the error. We're going to all try to get well. And Europeans, if you are about the business of helping us to get well, get on the bandwagon with us. Point out the truths and the idiosyncrasies and talk about how we can deal with this thing to bring all of the universe back on balance. But we can't do it when we're constantly living a lie and we don't want Africans to wake up. Allow us to wake up. As a matter of fact, Europeans, help us in our slumber and jog us so we can wake up. The quicker we come to our senses, the quicker you can be healed, European. And we're not leaving you out. This is not some segregated group. We've always asked you in this room, and we've always spoken our mind because we have not spoken anything against any denomination or race of people that wasn't true. So we're asking you to take hand in this and join hands to help us to rectify the problem by helping to teach truth. That's all we're asking. And in honoring our African ancestors today, and this came from Omi, I decreed that I was going to name a garden for our African ancestors. Erect it if we have to put one pillow at a time, put one headstone at a time, one flower at a time, and allow all people to go there because it's going to be a healing ground. And we're going to name sacred places all over the 50 states so that if we can claim these sacred places, it will be a sacred ground for healing of our mind and our people. Then let us not forget about Nina Simone, who needs to be honored, all of the work she's done in the nationalistic movement, and to be honored in the songs that she once sung that was banned from this United States, to be openly able to sing about southern states with the southern draw and with their southern hospitality and talk about the court system and the whole bit of how they've treated people all over the land. For her sons to be brought back and to be honored, those are something that we should be doing as a nation. We find so much to talk about that doesn't mean anything. Let us try to talk about things that will change this nation one day at a time. As we change this nation one day at a time, ladies and gentlemen, at the sound of my voice, I speak to every one of your spirits. You know your places. And in honoring our African spirits, you could do something for your spirituality today. You could light a candle to lead the way to your ancestors back to your home. You could set a glass of water to quench their thirst so that they're not thirsty anymore. You can say a prayer by listing all of their names, leaving them out every day and calling them one by one. And honoring your African spirituality, you could do that. No, it's not Hijah and the Conqueror. No, it's not fetish. No, it's not pagan. No, it's not witchcraft. No, it's not voodoo. But it's your heritage. It's your custom. And European, don't think that it's strange. It's your custom, too. It's where all civilization came out of. Africans, if you sit down with the Europeans for a moment or two, they will tell you I'm telling the truth. They will tell you a few things about your own custom and heritage that they desire and that they want that you turn a jaundiced eye to. They know the value, the benefit, and all that I'm talking about, the divining, the oracles readings. They know the value in all of that. It helps to govern and guide your life. African American, if you ever needed anything now, you need guidance and you need direction. You don't need someone to be a soothsayer. You need to do your readings yourself. Get the materials that we talk about, do your readings, and if you have a funded priest or priestesses that you go there and ask them to help you get direction for your life and readings for your life. These are things that we need in a day-to-day basis. We don't need falsehoods. We don't need any more lies. We need truth. Now, I'm asking you, Europeans, to help us to do it. Help us to do it. And African Americans, stop your fighting. Stop your fighting among your brothers and sisters and talking about how big of a God you are, because if you were such a big God, we wouldn't be having all these problems down here on earth that we're having. Gods do things, and they make change. Religion was designed for change. And these storehouses that are sitting up here not making change will have to change. And the congregation, if you don't go in and ask these churches to change and you keep putting up with the nonsense, you're not going to be any better. It's very important that we should now cry loud and spare not, lift up our voice like a trumpet and show the house of Jacob their transgression. And if we have to pull down, root out, and root up, we're going to have to do that, because the churches are going to have to change. They can no longer preach this paganistic teaching to us any longer, telling us it doesn't matter what color Jesus is, preaching an institution that is not African culturally centered. They can no longer do this, so we have to do something about it. We have to speak out. We have to talk about it. We have to have conferences, and we have to adjudicate, and we have to ask the minister to go back and get orientated in African-centristic training and Egyptology training and give you books so that you can learn more about your customs and have them readily available, just like the King James Version is readily available. Research King James. Find out who he really was. It will draw your eyebrows up and tighten your mouth, too. So I'm saying this to you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's honor our African spirituality. Let's honor our African spirituality. Let's honor our African spirituality. And on that note, Jamel, I'm going to ask that you have the last word to say here. And this truly is the last word today for this topic. But I will bid you well after Jamel's done. Jamel, you have the air. You're in the air. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you your world back in a minute. Jamel, you're in the atmosphere.
Well, the last word is very simple. We advocate a plan that is best and good for everyone everywhere, which means that's a plan. And with that, it's real simple. Black people, honor your culture, your land, and your heritage, okay? Get reconnected back to who you are as an African. That is the first thing that you have to do. Have no shame and no embarrassment in it, because you are who you are. Start living in the image of your ancestors. Don't ask to have your history. Go and just take your history back. It was taken, and then something else was substituted to you. So go back and reclaim your historical right. That is a fact. Your historical right as the indigenous, the first people on the planet. But step up with integrity and start acting and behaving with integrity and honor and dignity. Because the way we go is the way the world goes. A healthy black America is a healthy world. Look at the influence that rap music has on the world today. We must clean up our act. A healthy black America means a healthy world. And that will conclude what I have to say. Thank you, Omi, for having me here today.
No, thank you, Jamel. We certainly honor you here on this show. Jamel is a part of our tribe, ladies and gentlemen. Jamel is a part of the Omi Inca 7 tribe. We will be traveling and doing some lectures. We're trying to put something together right now. So we not only will be on the airways, we will be out doing Kwanzaa season. We'll also be doing training programs for institution and learning how to erect the rituals throughout the Kwanzaa season. So you can pray for us and hold us up and do a meditation for us as we begin to prepare this opportunity. We have been somewhat preoccupied by many other things, but we have a calling on our life, have a mission on our life. And as you can see, we are both gifted and given the power of tongue to speak the word of God. And we would not only as ministers and priests and priestesses like to stay on this airway, but we have to get out into the communities and we have to greet and meet the people, which we plan to do. So we can be visible and we can hear, touch, and see, and you can embrace us as well. We love you dearly, listening audience. We love you to the point of coming on here every day to speak to you. And because we love our God and our higher self, we have to show that in how we love our neighbors. There was two commandments left that we were to love ourselves and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And in return, we would be acknowledged for having the word of God in our mouth and preaching the word of God. And as we administer the word of God to you, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that it changed your household. We hope that it helped you to develop your spiritual higher self and understanding how chakras work today. Maybe you can honor your spirituality and your higher self. And I hope that this whole segment has been a benefit to all of you. Thank you so very much for being a part of our show and supporting us. We thank you very much for being patient with us. We ask that you do come in, challenge us and ask questions, and do be a part of what we are about to put together. We want change in the community, ladies and gentlemen, not just talk, but change. And you can see in the tone of our voice that we are loving and caring people, and we're not about the business of embracing anyone and forcing anyone to do anything. God will send us to help. Those who have been designated to help us will come without us preaching or begging. They will beckon and come to our call, and they will assist us. And as we go into the communities to do this work is not an easy work. We are up against a lot of challenges and up against a lot of foes. We are gods today, little children, and we have overcome them, and we're going to act the power of gods. When we need something, we need a mule, we command that mule to come to us. When we need a house to stay in, we command that house to be yielded to us and the mortgage to be paid in full. When we need dinner and food, the food is spread out for us like food that's fit for a king, because we're doing the work of a great one. We're doing the work of Ola Dudumare. That is a great assignment. And quitting a job that I had to do to come home to do a real job for the nation is a big responsibility. I ask that you pray our faith, hold us up in our effort, and support us and pour libations and pray and keep God focused in your life and making sure that at all times you are bettering yourself through your culture, through your heritage, and understanding that you do have a culture. You're not to be overwhelmed by European culture. Europeans, no offense to you, Africans were the predominant customs and tradition. All customs and traditions came out of our lifestyle. We're giving you our lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. We live every day of what we preach to you. We come from a clan of 18 children. All of us were trained very well. And when you've seen one of us, you've seen the other, because we've all had the same foundation. Yes, we've been called, and we know it. We are special. We know that the Almighty God has set us aside, and we have been hidden for a long time. We have been sanctified and purified and hidden, but it's now time for us to come out front. So embrace us. You will see us in the community. You'll hear more about us, and look forward to hearing about our programs in the community come January 26th. Books and material will be going out, websites, and you'll be able to see some of the things that we've been working on. We're not just here on the air, but there's many things that we're trying to put together for our community who we love so well. Oh, how we love each other. You will know the African American by the way they love one another. So go and love somebody and go in peace. And I speak out in the atmosphere, three shouts out into the atmosphere, Harambe! 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 And I say, go in peace, ladies and gentlemen, and honor your African spirits. Make sure you honor your African spirituality by erecting a statement of something that you want to do in your community or in your lifestyle that you are going to do as a customary ritual for your African heritage. I know you can do it. We can do it, ladies and gentlemen. And I am behind you. Omi and the tribe are behind you. And we wish you well in what you're doing. And we say once again, oh, devil.